Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
William Carey University Athletics.
Every sport you find exciting.
Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
And now.
This is Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
We're covering everything William Carey University Athletics. From the field to the court and the diamond. On Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Crusader Talk here on this Monday. My name's Caleb Hamill, joined by Josh West and Dalton Stanford behind the board. By the end of this hour, Caleb and Joshua will lead you to the promised land, but that is all in jest. But we will lead you down the rabbit hole of a lot of exciting William Carey news, some updates and recaps as far as athletic competition is concerned. Josh, been a decent week for Crusader Athletics. Men's soccer got the job done earlier on with their meeting in the midweek on Wednesday night. You got to call that one. And then volleyball doing their thing yet again, finishing a 3-1 week. But to start off our show, Josh, we have some exciting baseball news to share with everybody. And Coach Bobby Hallford is on the line to tell us a little bit about what is coming next to Milton Wheeler Field. Coach, how are you?
Good. How about you?
Doing all right. So you called me last week about this, and boy, I was excited just sitting in my chair thinking about what we had to look forward to. And you told me that we are about to see a new system installed at Milton Wheeler Field. TrackMan is coming to Milton Wheeler. Tell us about it.
Well, you know, we were talking about it earlier, and then we decided, Coach Ebers and myself were talking about it and some of the things that we wanted to do and upgrade, and that was one of the areas that we wanted to try to purchase and that type thing. And so he was talking to some of the people in the DO school, and we got it kind of rolling, like they, you know, we could use something like that, an instrument like that, to test some of our athletes this fall, or possibly in the spring. Not this fall, probably would be kind of hard to get this done. And so it just kind of went from there, and then we were able to do this. And it's something that, you know, most of the Division I schools now have, and it's all the analytical and the video of players, and you can you know, it tells you a little bit of everything that's happening out there. And you know, when a pitcher throws, you can talk about spin rate, you can talk about velocity, you can, you know, movement and that type thing. And also with hitters, you know, what was the exit velocity, what was, you know, some of the things that it will analyze and be able to use. And a lot of scouts basically look at this instead of actually coming to a ballpark sometimes. So, you know, I had a veteran scout say, you know, that kind of hurts some of the smaller schools because you don't have access to that. And maybe some of your players could put up some numbers and some things that could get the attention of some of these scouts and that type of thing. So it just kind of went from there. So we're kind of in the process right now.
So, Coach, we can talk about analytics of what TrackMan can provide. You've hit on a couple of those already. But you know, one of the big reasons that the DO school got involved in purchases, which is not – it's not an inexpensive thing at all. I mean, it is something with a hefty price tag. That there's a reason the NCAA schools have it. It's because they can afford it a lot more than some of our NAIA brethren. But this is something that, with the analytics that it provides, can, in theory, help prevent some injuries.
Sure. And that's the whole thing. Of course, it's just in the infant stage right now. We've got to go through some process and that type of things and get permission to use our players and that type of thing. So we haven't moved that fast, that far yet. And There's a procedure you have to go through, and have to go through committee and that type thing to get approval. So it's just still kind of in the infancy stage, and to get actual, you know, use of being able to test and that type thing. And so right now, you know, it's just in the early stages of it.
Coach Hallford, this is Josh West. Got a couple of questions for you along that train of thought. Explain to in me too, being a little bit more of a new observer to this technology. You're talking about the clearance from the athletes. Why is that needed? And I'm sure that's a why question that a lot of fans would have as well.
Well, you know, it's just it's a research project that's being done by school that you basically can't use, people at this point in time until everything gets cleared. And there's a protocol that you have to go through. And so to, you know, take your athletes or whatever actually put them through some things right now. There's a process, there's a procedure that you have to do, and that type thing, as far as getting permission and this type thing. It's just a privacy, it's like anything else nowadays.
So HIPAA comes into play there, I assume?
I'm not sure. I'm really not sure on that. It's similar to something, very similar to that. And it's just a protocol that you have to deal with. And to actually, we haven't done anything with our kids so right now. And so we're waiting on the go-ahead for all of that.
From a injury prevention standpoint, what they've seen at the professional level, what they've seen at some of the higher levels of baseball that have pretty much across the board, if not across the board, access to this. What are some of the measurables that when they see a dip in XYZ, they know that fatigue is really an issue?
Yeah, of course it could be just the way someone is they approach as far as the way they're throwing, the way they're possibly swinging, all the different variables. I mean, you can see, is this moving forward as far as being the best that you can be with your, skill set. And they can measure that, and they can measure just all, different types of things. A lot of it, too, you get to watch and see other teams. You get to see. And from a scouting perspective or from a recruiting perspective, you're able to dip into all this information, and you can pull it up and that type thing.
Now, one thing I'm looking forward to, Josh, is the fact that we'll, as broadcasters, likely have a little insight into what TrackMan is saying about, pitch velocity, launching and all that, but also strike zone. Which, sorry for all our umpire friends out there that are about to come to Milton Wheeler Field, you may have a little bit more either for or against you when it comes to the analytics at the end of a game. But I'm really excited to see everything that it's going to provide for us if everything works out according to plan. But another thing that's so exciting, this is also a bit of baseball news that came out just about a week ago, is that Patrick Lee, we mentioned that he had a little short call up to 3A or AAA, and then went right back down to West Michigan. Has gotten the call up to, or high A, excuse me, and now is going to be in double A, and already has been activated and played some ball games.
Yeah, if you had to, talk about a story that's amazing, here's a guy that started off in independent ball and basically was signed by a team, and before he went to their camp was traded to another independent team, and within a week he was traded or sold to the Evansville Otters in the Frontier League, and he went up there and put up about a great week and a half, and then was signed by the Detroit Tigers and sent to their A club in Lakeland, Florida. And while he was down there and played about a couple of weeks, he was Florida State Player of the Week in that league. And he's got big time speed. He's got base running ability, steals bases, got strong arms, got power. He's just a really good athlete. And he was sent to high A. And when he went to high A, he's played well. And there were some trades that were made in the Tigers organization at the big level to, trade for some pitchers, and some of their minor league kids were in the trade. Well, Patrick, they were shorthanded there in AAA, so he was sent up to AAA. So to go from independent, not drafted, to go to A-ball, high A, and AAA, then back down. Now he's in double A playing for the Seawolves, the Erie Seawolves. And the other night, his team was playing against DeLucia, the kid that pitched for Ole Miss when they won the World Series. He basically played against him. Then he played against Trimble, a kid from Southern Miss that's playing with the Orioles double A team. So it's been an interesting odyssey for him as far as where he's where he started from this year and where he is right now. We're just proud of what he's done. And he's just a great athlete, great competitor. And so that's, we're hoping he keeps doing good things.
Coach Alford, I know for me, not getting to follow a ton of minor league baseball, following what's close, and that was the Mississippi Braves, and watching them over this two-decade run, Double A was the launching pad to the majors. Triple A, if you went to Gwinnett, you'd get stuck in Triple A so many times. Is that pretty universal across the board? Is Lee now in a position where he's at a good jumping-off point if he can really produce at that level? Is that pretty typical across the minors now?
There's a couple of things going here. You got to be at the right place at the right time, and that's kind of what he's been able to do. Also, the Double-A baseball is the prospects, the younger guys that many times jump straight to the major league. Of course, the Triple-A's a lot of veterans that have been around. I know the catcher that was playing on the team that he's playing is like 35 years old, and a lot of times these are guys that are insurance policies that they can bring up quickly and that type thing. And many kids that, you know, go through the process, they get to Double-A, and then boom, a lot of times they get up there. And I think at this point in time, he's with his age and everything, they're kind of seeing, okay, for his age, he needs to be in Double-A. And it's kind of a tough situation where you got all these draft choices. He was playing in West Michigan with a kid that was like the third best prospect in baseball, signed for like $7.7 million. He's playing center field. And Patrick's playing left and right, you know, in the same outfield with him. And they had another kid that signed for about $2.5 million that's playing there. And here you have a free agent. So, you know, he's got to take advantage of his opportunity right now. And it's, you know, it's crucial that he play well at this level because they'll say, well, you know, with his age, 24, 25 years old, that he needs to be in Double-A, you know, and he needs to be able to show that he can play at that level. So I think that's the challenge that's before him right now.
Yeah. Well, we're excited for how far he's made it so far. And, Coach, thanks so much for joining us for a couple news drops. We'll be right back with more Crusader Talk in just a bit.
From the coaches to the student athletes and the fans that cheer them on, you're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Yeah, I kind of like that we have that little voiceover leading into this segment because I'm thinking about what we've covered so far. We've already talked to Coach Hallford. We've talked about former players and Patrick Lee and the fans that cheer them on. I think we're going to have a lot that really blends into you, the listener that's out there, the fan of William Carey, beyond just keeping track of former players, of the analytics that are about to come to William Carey, but also about how this affects you. Because I really do think, Josh, that with the addition of this TrackMan stuff, which we can break down a couple of the numbers for in just a bit, I think this is going to be a huge selling point to the incoming baseball player at William
Carey.
Sure.
Absolutely.
To know that you have a chance to have your analytics documented in report form, ready to go for MLB scouts, to where they don't have to watch videos to figure out whether or not you're a good player. They don't have to do the analysis themselves of what you're capable of. They have it straight up formatted into an Excel spreadsheet that they can lump in with everything else, and then all of a sudden when they sort it, pff, there your name is in whatever set of the ranks.
Right. So the analytics match up with the eye test, and you don't have to wonder, was it the level of competition? Because you'll be able to look at the analytics they were going against, mm-hmm. and you'll be able to look at their analytics, and it doesn't matter at what level that is. If it matches, if it you know, matches what you're seeing at other levels of play, then you've got good on good going in that matchup, pitcher-batter matchup. It's going to play out. So, yeah, it's huge.
And, you know, you can almost consider this an infomercial for TrackMan right now, but you have seen this entity take over the college baseball world by storm. I mean, I can remember a couple of years back whenever Mississippi State had done their big stadium upgrade, and they thought they were done in the, you know, upper concourse level where they had the press area all done up. And the next thing you know, they're putting scaffolding back up in those seats, attaching something to the roof line. You're like, what's going on? I thought they were done over there. No, got a new contract. They're adding TrackMan. And Southern Miss just recently got it too. And now William Carey will be, to what I have the information on, the seventh NAIA school to have it in one of their facilities. And some of the others that are out there use their facilities for beyond just their own team. Some of these are hosting prospect tournaments to where this was almost a necessity to have there in order to attract that attention. Now William Carey's in a spot where they are one of the first 10, we'll say, schools to have these type of analytics on their players. And one of the more accepting venues in our state that could bring in high school talent to see what their analytics are, which, by the way, William Carey hosts of an all-star tournament every year for high school players. At that point, most of them are seniors in their recruiting is kind of finished at that point. But still, the fact that high school athletes using that facility have the chance to also get on radar, I mean, it just brings all kinds of momentum into Milton Wheeler Field and what things are possible at William Carey.
Well, the thing I think about when I hear you say that, for first and foremost to me, is that the more opportunity you get to get people to William Carey's campus, mm-hmm. right, to get them to that facility, because I don't think pictures do it justice. When you're on campus, when you're walking around on campus, when you're at that facility, when you're at Joseph and Nancy Fail Field on one side, and on the other side you've got Milton Wheeler, and then you've got the brand new locker room facilities and all down the hill, and you've got the concessions and you've got the press boxes, and it is as good as you'll find in our NAIA league, and it's actually really very comparable to what you'll see at a Division II level. So you can go up multiple levels from there. So to get them on campus, and like you said, to be able to evaluate them to the highest level that they can be evaluated, it puts Carey in very elite company.
Now, you'll recall, I believe this started either last year or the year before last, the Southeastern Conference started instituting an umpire's grading session or system using TrackMan data that was available at the time from, I believe, 12 out of the 14 schools. They're now 16. But you had that level of data coming in for the officials that were cycling through your ballpark as well. So think about it this way. William Carey could be one of the few facilities that when umpires come through, they get the chance to improve based off real metrics that can be shown, replayed, and truly measured with a fine-tooth comb rather than just going back through whatever video feed they have to pass the eye test from a right of center field camera.
Well, I think it makes the league better. I think it makes the Southern States mm-hmm. Athletic Conference better, because you would be crazy if you're the league not to take advantage of the resources that are now available at William Carey. You might assign differently. You might try to make sure that all of the umpires that are in your league have a chance once or twice to come through William Carey. I think the umpires are going to be excited, as you said, to be able to be graded and be able to get the feedback that they need. But it's a win-win, because mm-hmm. it's going to have the umpires' full attention. It's going to have the league's full attention. It's going to be exciting for the teams that come in to our park. It's going to be able to help us schedule in non-conference, the big-time non-conference games. We saw some of those early on last year. Especially in an era where you can see, like, let's just take one example that's really kind of not apples and apples, but women's basketball having a very tough time scheduling in the non-conference. Why? Mm. They're loaded. Nobody yeah. wants to play them. Well, when you have a chance to go to Warm Weather Hattiesburg in February and be able to be analyzed early in the season on TrackMan, to be able to play at that kind of surface, that kind of a facility in this kind of a city, it makes it a premier. You will have teams, I don't want to go so far and be, dramatic to say fighting to get into an early season non-conference series or to play in a kind of a round-robin tournament here. But I think that a lot more people are willing to pick up the phone and answer maybe that wouldn't have, even if you don't know necessarily what the wins and losses are going to look like, mm-hmm. just because of how much that experience can pay off. This is just one more way that coming to William Carey, even as an opposing program, can pay off.
So kind of thinking back to just a slight conversation point about the umpiring thing, we're likely to have a monitor in front of us that not only shows us typical radar type things of speed of a pitch, because also TrackMan is different from a typical radar gun when it measures speed. It measures from the release point. So as soon as that pitcher releases the ball, it takes the snapshot of what the miles per hour were, as opposed to just kind of generally where it crosses the radar gun's beam, which could already see drag from the air resistance cause the ball to slow down. So you have a guy like John Snyder, who typically registered 90-91. He would have had a more true number from this radar gun when it came out of his hand, at more than likely a 92, maybe even touching 93 at some points. But where I was headed with this was just going back to talk about the umpiring thing for just a second. With having that monitor in front of us, we also see pretty pure strike zone. To my knowledge, from what I've seen in pictures out there, you'll have an absolute rock solid strike zone of what is and what isn't. Then you'll kind of have the fringe area of this is generally not called a strike, but can kind of tail in or out of it, and then just outside the zone. I would not doubt it. And we made it to establish some general communication protocols of what we will and won't do. But I would be not surprised if on a borderline call, there's a look up from the coaches in the dugout down to my right of a thumbs up or a thumbs down of, what did TrackMan say on that one? I need to know if I have an argument here.
Sure. And we also, as broadcasters, and this is going to be more you than me because I'll be at softball, you'll be at baseball. So this will be 90%, 95% you. We have to try to not get lost in the weeds of just too much data that we can throw on the viewer or throw on the listener because as broadcasters, we can completely geek out over that stuff. Coaches, players, broadcasters, but it can kind of go over the head of the average baseball fan. So we have to make sure that we're kind of, you know, making sure that we give them what they need, not give them too much.
Yeah, and that's one of the biggest things about baseball broadcasting. You can stat someone to death because baseball's such an analytic sport. You can talk about batting average, RBIs, whip for a pitcher. You can talk about slugging percentage, on base plus slugging. You know, all of these different deep dive things. But at the end of the day, what does that mean? You know, of what degree is that in comparison to the average player? If I tell you in basketball somebody has a free throw percentage of 64%, I need to understand that they shoot it not that great, but they make them a little bit more than they miss. At the same time, when it comes to things like launch angle or exit velocity off the bat of a player, you're talking about this guy hits the ball hard, meaning he oftentimes, when he can get it out of the infield, will have an extra base hit. Or, I think one of my favorite things, and we could likely see this come to social media, home runs, how far did it go? I want to know how far that Billy Garrity home run was. I want to know that R.J. Stinson wasn't even close to touching the wall on that one because it went 435 feet. I want to be able to see something and retweet it to show just how talented these players are at William Carey and what they are accomplishing.
I agree. And with that, I think you really made a great point to be able to make sure that we're educating so much as this compared to the average NAIA player, compared to maybe the average player out of the Southern States that has come through this stadium this year, compared to players at different levels, higher, and the pros, to give them some comparables as well.
Absolutely. All right. We told you about it a couple weeks ago. But a new fight song has been introduced to William Carey. We are going to play that for you live on the air next. Stay tuned. That's coming up as Crusader Talk continues.
You're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
All right, back here for our third segment of Crusader Talk. By the way, if you missed our conversation with Coach Bobby Hallford earlier, if you're listening live, catch us on demand wherever you get podcasts. Just search for Crusader Talk in your favorite podcasting app, whether it's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, all those. It's available to you also online at supertalk.fm.
Before we embark on this segment, could this be one of our most popular segments in quite some time?
I think this is something a lot of people have been looking forward to for, dare I say, not just years, but decades.
Long overdue.
Very much. And just thinking about the years that have gone by that I've sat there on the scores table at basketball, pep band across from me, livening up the crowd, but don't have any type of specific song to bring the team onto the field with, or a court, I should say, with. Everything at that point is just kind of generally what's playing on the public address at that time. Or, you know, how many times do they want to play Hey Baby or The Horse, you know, whatever songs you want to throw in that arsenal. Never a fight song.
Until now.
Until now. And I got a little bit of background from the dean of the Winter School of Music, Dr. Wes Dykes. He tells me that this not only has been, you know, thought of for a long time, asked about for a long time. It has been a long time in the making. They have had many times, composition sent their way as candidates for a fight song, and they've just never had one stick. You know, never had one that really just, you know, fit the bill, didn't have quite the tenacity they were looking for, weren't able to convey the message they wanted to through it. Just a lot of, not to say duds, but just things that weren't going to be Carrie's fight song.
I mean, there's a lot of pressure on this.
Yes.
I mean, you think about the great fight songs of, you fill in the blank of your favorite team at this, at the collegiate level, and it fires you up. I mean, yes. That song puts you back in a place, in a time, in memories, and moments. And so I think that this song makes the big moments even bigger.
Yeah. And from the moment you have a fight song, you also begin to build off of that your spirit songs that go with it. I think about it, Mississippi State, you have Hail State the fight song, but then you also have the MSU song / cheer, and then the Ghost State song / cheer, all things kind of alluding to what the fight song does. And it's just opened up the realm of possibilities of how much more not only the band can get involved, but how much the crowd can get involved when the band is playing, when the moment is right, get people on their feet, energized for what moment's about to happen.
Well, you have all of these, whether, I know Southern Miss calls it first flight. What does Mississippi State call their freshman year experience?
New Maroon Camp.
So this is going to become part of the freshman year experience.
Carrie Wow, right?
So the Carrie Wow, this is going to be a part of that. You'll go into the gym and you'll have the pep band and you'll meet the teams and you'll learn the cheers. So this all becomes part of that now, especially with competitive cheer, especially with what the cheerleading experience is going to look and feel like. We know how good game day is in the right matchups with the right years inside Clinton Gym. Take that and double it, triple it, quadruple it, where it's literally standing room only with the pep band, with the fight song, with the cheers, with the cheerleaders, eventually the mascot, whoever needs to hear that, whoever is ready to write that check and buy that gear, whoever is that philanthropist out there that we need. This is going to be huge. So, I mean, this is a big moment.
All right. So now, without further ado, the debut of the William Carey University fight song. Here it is, recorded by William Carey's band. Take a listen. How about it?
I love it.
And so that not only is going to be played at basketball games and over the loudspeaker at baseball, softball, there are also lyrics to this song, and they're written by Carey's own Tim Matheny from the theater department, one of the brain children behind Waffle House the Musical, coming to William Carey. So you already know it's coming from good stock. But hand in hand, Tim worked with the composer, arranger of this fight song for Carey to make lyrics work out with all this. And so I do not have a proper name for this song yet. It's just kind of working title is Carey Fight Song. And there may be one that I just haven't been told about. But the lyrics to this work really well with the song. Now, and I won't sing it for you for the lack of perfect pitch over here. But it is, stand up, you mighty crusaders, stand up, you faithful and true. Fight the good fight, run the good race, press on until it's through. Onto the field we go boldly, our courage and honor renewed. Carey's mighty red and black are marching through.
I love it. the spiritual connotations of that, of being courageous, of running the good race, fighting the good fight. So many scriptures that line up with that, that line up with William Carey's message and what this school is. I think it's something that alums can take a lot of pride in instantly. I think it's so honoring to their faith and what they stand for. And I think that it's something that instantly as an athlete, it gives you pride. It fires you up.
It really does. And I'm right there with you. Loving the nods to the Bible, you know, fighting the good fight, run the good race. Just like it says in Scripture, you know, run the race with endurance, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. It is so true for each and every one of these college students, not just athletes, to run the race that's before them, you know, through this trying time of, you know, figuring out where you're going to be, you know, years down the road in your career, through anything else that comes your way, whether it's marriage, children, all of that. It's applicable, and it's applicable in encouraging us all in life, but also in the field of athletics and competition to, again, stand up, you mighty crusaders, you faithful and true, fight the good fight, run the good race, press on until it's through.
And I think of VBS as a kid singing Onward Christian Soldiers, marching us to war, crusaders. There's such a nod to history here, but also, and you said a nod to the Bible, though, I think it is so, it is the foundation of that fight song, more so than just a tip of the cap to it. It is completely saturated with faith elements, which is so good for Carey. So, I mean, boy, I don't know how you find fault with it. It's that good. It's that good. And now that it's here, you're glad they waited.
Yes.
You know, if you're going to do it, let's do it right. We haven't had it for this long. So if we're going to have one, we're going to get it right. And they've nailed it.
Yeah. And we'll have the time code of where this is in the podcast. We'll try to put that maybe in the show notes, just so you know where to jump in and find this. If you just see it in the title that we debuted the fight song, that you'll be able to find it quickly. Sure. And replay it for your friends. Tell everybody Carey's got a brand new fight song, and you can all enjoy it now as fans. If your athletes tuned in, or just the general curious person about what's going on in William Carey, this is an exciting time. I mean, I'm excited just as not a broadcaster, but as a spectator as well. The fact that now we have something that we can be proud of, that we know is going to play as soon as that team either comes out the tunnel or goes to the locker room, has a big moment in a sporting event, maybe a home run or just after a win in baseball or softball, it's that rallying cry. It's your banner. It's the thing that follows you everywhere there is success in most likely and most often the realm of athletics. It's, again, long overdue, but good things come to those who wait.
Well, and you wonder now if there's going to be some more further Christian symbolism that's going to be adopted as the team lines up, perhaps after a match or after a game on the court, where as you see alma mater sung so many times, as all these things develop, you might see this fight song being a rallying moment after a big win in front of the pep band, in front of the student section, the fans, and so forth, to be able to sing this fight song together.
Yeah, and for years, you know, Carey's had an alma mater. They sing it at graduation. The students have to learn it ahead of time. And I thought for one point the fight song was going to be some variation of that. You know, William Carey, William Carey, you know, whatever the tune is of all that. But it just was determined that it was going to take a little bit more time. Something new was going to be written, and the lyrics were going to be not all the these, thys, and thous that a typical alma mater song has, but more of that ferociousness. And thinking about the history of this song, you and I got a little sneak preview of it back when Bandcamp first started.
Sure.
And yeah, you know, we thought, yeah, it sounds pretty good, but at the same time, we were like, yeah, it's missing a little something here or there. And all it was just the pizzazz of knowing it for a little bit, being able to have the players of the instrument soak in what that song was and what it was going to be like. And so with that, now they've gotten the drum cadence in there, they've got the tempo down, they've got the staccato notes, the accents, and all of that to where now it is a powerful song that is going to carry Crusaders through for generations to come.
This is as hard of a... I just thought of this, and maybe this is spot on, maybe it's not. You can let me know. We've got about a minute left in this segment. This is about as hard of a genre to break into as Christmas music. You feel me on that, Caleb? So we have our Christmas classics. Bing Crosby and all have been around for 70, 80 years. We sing the same songs, the same 30 songs are on the radio every Christmas. So for you to come up with a fight song, to break into that genre, so to speak, to create something that is new, yet it also sounds like it's been around for 150 years. That's what they've done here. And that took a lot of time, a lot of work, and they nailed it. Again, hats off to everyone involved.
Tell you what, let's listen to it one more time as we go to break. We'll be right back with our final segment of Crusader Talk next.
On Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
All right, rocking and rolling with you through our final segment of Crusader Talk. Man, just so thrilled that we got to let the public hear that for a lot of them the first time. And again, you can always go back to the episode, listen back to it. That'll be a very often replayed, I feel like, 30 to 40 seconds in our podcast history.
We almost got you to sing live on the air. Halfway through, you almost broke out into song.
I have often told Kevin and them, if the PA system ever has a problem with their laptop on the national anthem, just toss it over to me. You know, we'll make it through the national anthem one way or another. I'm not quite like who's it, Roseanne Barr? I'm a little better. Humbly better. That we'd be okay. You know, actually, that happened to be one of my first ever public address gigs. Now, I didn't sing it over the loudspeaker, but it just refused to play on the sound system, and everybody in the volleyball arena just started a cappella singing the national anthem. Probably one of the best versions I've ever been a part of, honestly. Because you get such into a routine to that, and then all of a sudden, you just forget what's happening. You just, by muscle memory, just pop hand on heart, looking at general direction, wait the 60 seconds, and then you're back to playing. But in that moment, it's like, oh, no, we're paying homage to America right now. Yeah. Anyway, all that said, no, I did not sing the fight song because, again, I wasn't too sure of tune because I haven't heard it recorded and played back and practiced and all that. But generally speaking, yeah, the tune and the rhythm is there, and I'm with you. I'm all for these lyrics. Like, it was well done from start to finish, well put together, well coordinated, well managed, and it's set up, like you said, to be around for a long time.
Go back to the last line of the fight song. You had those.
Yeah, it's our courage and honor renewed carries mighty red and black are marching through.
Yeah, and you can just hear the student section screaming, mighty red and black are fighting through. You can hear You can hear it in your mind's eye of the entire student section. You've just beaten Mobile in a buzzer beater, and then the band's going crazy, and everybody's singing the fight song, and they scream out that last line, and you know, or they're bouncing up and down at center court, singing it, screaming it, the team too, and everybody's singing it, and it's just euphoria down on the floor.
Yeah, and I almost want to think that the mighty red and black are marching through line is almost kind of like Southern Miss's fight song, where it's like, fight, 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 or, you know, whatever.
Hear our battle cry.
Yes.
Marching through, yeah.
It's kind of a general nod to most fight songs that have that kind of rally,
right,
you know, accented part, and then you jump through the final line.
To extend to my comment that I made during the break, to create something that when a new student comes in next year And you're like, yeah, this has been finalized for about 6-8 months. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no. So how long has the school been around? Oh, 100 blah, blah years. But it's brand new? Yeah, it's brand new. You've created something that it feels timeless, feels like it's been there from the beginning. That's special.
And who knows? Maybe your next collision course or whatever consolidated school that comes about all of a sudden needs to have a new fight song. Who are they going to rob from the collegiate ranks this time? William Carey's a brand new fight song to steal. Come on.
Yeah, you
just everybody's
right.
Like, oh, where did that fight song come from? William Carey.
Just you have to write your lyrics over William Carey.
That's what they all do, right? Everybody has a logo that looks very similar to either a pro team or college team, and the fight songs.
Oh, we could have a whole show on Mississippi high school football teams that mimic colleges.
So many of them have
LSU, Auburn, all of them. Clemson, just off the top of my head.
Yeah, Michigan, Madison Central was a Michigan fight song. A lot of them do.
You're talking
Victor
fight
Smart.
Songs. I'm just talking about the looks about too.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, Clemson, yeah, Auburn, LSU, yeah.
Yeah, Madison Central, the mix of Clemson and Mississippi College with their two logos.
So true.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, looking at the calendar as we wrap up, I also haven't done Seder of the Week.
And shout out to volleyball.
Like, yes.
Winning another series is still a baseball term. 3-1
yep.
for the second consecutive weekend.
Yep. Women's soccer gets a match against Louisiana Christian on Thursday night, 5 o'clock. So drop everything. Maybe sneak out of the office a little early. Get down there to Danny Owens Field for that one. Golf on the road in Brookhaven. Volleyball also on the road. And the Cumberland's invite. They'll take on Union College and the host school Cumberland's on Friday. Then volleyball will take on Kaiser and Bluefield College on the second day of that invite on Saturday. Then that same day, Saturday, the men's soccer team will take on Louisiana Christian. That match also will begin at 5 o'clock p.m. And then women's soccer will wrap up the week with a Sunday meeting against Lindsey Wilson College, but that will be up in Decatur, Alabama, out near Huntsville, Alabama. Seder of the Week. Found out that in the Faulkner tournament that they participated in, Elena Anderson got honors as the player of the tournament. And so with that, she is also the award winner of Seder of the Week here on our program.
Very nice. Very nice. Golf clap. Golf
yes.
clap.
Golf clap for the volleyball enthusiast and expert herself, Elena Anderson. All right, Josh, been a fun show.
It's been a very fun show. Been a quick show.
Yes, indeed. I want to thank Coach Oliver for joining us earlier for Dalton Stanford. Running the board for us tonight, making sure that we sound good and the fight song sounded good in its radio debut here on Crusader Talk. Josh, until we meet again, partner, been fun. See you out there, either Danny Owens Field, if you're going to take in those matches later on this week, or just next time we get to join each other in the studio. We'll see you around. I'm Caleb Hamill. Until next time, good night, God bless, and go Saders.
Mississippi Media Production.